Hi, and welcome to the Loan Officer Team Training Podcast. My name is Irene Duford. I'm your host, and I'm here with Kevin Brierton today from Neo Home Loans. I'm super excited to have Kevin on because we have conversations pretty often about mindset, about habits, about routines, and things like that. So welcome, Kevin, to the podcast today. I'm excited to have you here.
What's up, Irene? Thanks so much for bringing me on, and just pleasure to talk to you. I'm super excited about unpacking our topic today, and I'll let you say what the topic is, but super excited about it.
Me too. So I know you and I have these conversations all the time, and I thought that would be really cool to talk about it in front of people so people can hear what these conversations are like when we have them. But first, I want to introduce you and tell us what you do for a living, how long you've been in the business, that type of thing.
Yeah, I've been in the business almost 20 years in November 2024, coming up, I'll be 20 years in the business. Got out of the business pretty much right out of college. Went to college at NAU, Flagstaff College. Yay! Up there.
That's my daughter's alma mater.
Yeah, great college. It was awesome. I went there because they had a strong business school and they also had a strong engineering. So I wasn't sure what direction I wanted to go, but I knew kind of engineering or business. Always picture myself holding a briefcase, walking down Wall Street. I don't know why, but I always pictured that. So I never made it quite to Wall Street, but I made it to the mortgage world. And I actually got all my financial planning licensing and everything when I got out of college. But when I got out of college, I realized, you know, I need to go ask people for money, right? If I go and I'm a financial advisor, I'm going to go, hey, can you bring your money over to me? And where mortgage world, you're actually giving people money. And I was like, all right, well, that might be a little bit easier than when you're young. And it was a somewhat of a booming market right then. I kind of got in at the tail end of the crazy boom, but there was still a little bit of a run. I had an awesome start to the business, a little unique for me. People don't do this now. Maybe some people do, but our job was to take the inbound call, sell the loan, and then drive out to the client's house and sign the paperwork, then drive all the way back. We had to go four hour circle around Phoenix. So this is, we're going into some areas that I'd never been into. So we drive out there, get everything signed. So what was cool about that is you better had your numbers right. So if you're going over to somebody's house and you lied to about the numbers or you misled them anyway, you're literally sitting right in front of them and showing them everything. So it was a really good way to make sure what you told somebody was actually accurate. And then also we had to go back out for the closing. So we go back, do all the paperwork and drive back out there. Now, I look at efficiencies and we're going to talk about habits. Probably wouldn't work for my business today, but I really enjoyed the face-to-face. And I think that that's something that I'm trying to weave into my business now because I feel like it gives me energy and I enjoy it, but it's not as efficient. So I'm trying to figure out how to have a good balancing act there. So, you know, I've done everything from working in a call center, major banks and smaller banks. And now at Neo Home Loans, we're a perfect blend of everything. We can broker our own loans. We can go wherever we want. We have 40 different investors plus that we could work with. We could bank the own loans. We could finance nationwide. So it's really a great place for a referral-based certified mortgage planning specialist to help as many people as we can throughout our referral network and our partners.
I love that. And I've met some people from Neo Home Loans and they're all great people. So I've heard really good things about Neo. I was really glad and excited when I heard that's where you were. I think it's great.
We're pretty lucky. We got a great little, we got a great thing going on for sure.
Yeah. They have a great mindset. They have the way they look at things, you know, all the way from the top. I just love it. I think it's a great place. So I'm excited that you're there and I'm excited you're here today because I want to talk about mindset today. Normally, I don't have a topic. We just talk about whatever. But since I'm talking to Kevin Brierton today, I thought it would be really fun to talk about some habits and mindset and that type of thing, things that can hold us back if we let them, obstacles. So tell us what you do. What's your routine in the morning personally to get ready for the day, for the work day, let's say?
So a few things. I set my alarm. I played around with this over the years. For a long time, I set it at 5:30. That was good. And I kind of got my internal clock at 5:30 for a long time. About 2 years ago, I started playing around with 3:30. 3:30 is a little early for me. I actually like 3:30, but it doesn't really work with your life because you need to be awake when other people are home.
Yes. So,
like, I would never see my wife. I never see my kids, really. I go to bed at like 7 o'clock, but I was waking up at 3:30. I'm the type of person, I like to get at least 7 hours of sleep. I know my body functions that way better. So I get up typically around 4:30. Sometimes I'll cheat and go sleep a little longer depending on what was going on. But I'd say 4:30 up, like this morning, 4:30 up, wake up, try to stay off social media. I mean, you guys hear all this stuff, but like really social media is not the thing you want to get on. It's so easy to go down rabbit holes on everything. And all of a sudden you're like 20 minutes later, like, what am I looking at? I actually did that this morning after I did a couple other things, after I was on the way to the gym. But as I was on, I looked at something and then I went down a rabbit hole and I'm like, I need to be not on social media at all. So a couple of things, gym in the morning, because it gets out of the way. Why in the morning? It's done. You have to get it done in the morning, because every time I go, you know what, why don't I do it in the afternoon? I don't do it. And so I have to get that done. That's something, a huge commitment I made last year. A little habit the hack there is just go to the gym. Even if you spend 10 minutes at the gym, the habit starts forming. So January last year, I'm like, I got to do this. I started showing up. I would literally just show up, work out for 10 minutes and leave. And I just wanted to get the habit going. And surprise, surprise, I went to the gym more than I've ever gone this last year. And it's just awesome. So I would say that's huge, is wake up early. Don't get on social media, control your day, right? So really you don't want any media that's going to deter you from your plan before noon. Mm-hmm. So no media before noon is, I believe, the best way to do it. Even if you think you need to read some industry articles or whatever, read it afternoon, do all your stuff. And then that's your talking points maybe for tomorrow. But it's really, really bad for our brains when we go down those rabbit holes. So that's huge. Morning routine for me, though, something else I used to do was lay out all my clothes for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I have to think, okay, I have a meeting at this time or the presentation at this time. Something I do now is I just wear black shirts and gray pants. Like, I'm done. Like,
it makes it easy.
Yeah. And I have polo shirts that are black and I have logo shirts that I wear. And I'm like, I just want to take the thought out of it. I've been doing that almost for a year now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to take things to dry cleaners because my polo shirts are, I can wash them and I don't have to iron them. Little things like that just save your mental power for all the big things. And that's something I've learned is, you know, we really need to make these things easy for ourselves. And there's a saying by Greg McKeown in Effortless that I was love, make the essential easy and make the non-essential hard. And so some of these things I've already done before reading that, but I'm really kind of trying to double down on putting some roadblocks in the way of things that I shouldn't be doing or they're non-essential.
I love that. That's great. Do you do any type of listening to anything that's motivational in the morning? Not watching, because we want to stay away from media. We just talked about that, but you can have it on your app. You know, you can have
I like to download the podcast that I, you know, I pick out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not, because on the podcast, it's a little better because you're not just throwing a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Or if you're on social media, you're scrolling and things, ads pop up and it's just.
Right. You get lost. Bad.
Yeah. So I think the best thing to do there is download a book or two on Audible and then, you know, listen to a podcast or two. But, you know, podcasts, we have to be a little careful. And obviously we're on a podcast now. You can go down rabbit holes and you think, oh, Kevin does that. All right, well, let me go buy my black shirts and my gray pants and let me go to the gym at 4:30. And like, it's got to be about your story, you know? So that's where I have to be a little careful because I don't get all excited about listening to some cool book or something. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do that. I think actually moving forward, I'm going to do a little bit more of music in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just because then I already have the plan, right? I already formed the plan before. I don't need somebody else in my ear at 4:30 in the morning at the gym trying to tell me how I should do something different. And then all of a sudden, different at 8 o'clock. I'm like, it's really defeating if you keep doing that. So I think music's probably the most important. There's two books that I listen to over and over is Think and Grow Rich and Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I've read books over the years where it's like, you know, I pay for Audible for like the last, like, I don't know, 9 years. And I buy a book every month.
Me too.
And all of a sudden it's like, you've listened to a lot of books, which is cool. But then you go, did you really go deep on anything?
Yes.
So morning routine for me is listen to Think and Grow Rich or Rich Dad Poor Dad, and then and try to implement those, because there's so much in those two books that you can listen to those for like 10 years and still not do everything. It's really pretty fascinating.
Yeah. You know what I love? There's an app called Self-Talk Plus by Shad Helmstetter that I know you've heard of, and I've talked about it a lot on this podcast, but it has self-talk that's already there. So it's like having somebody affirming you for 15 minutes, you know, affirming what you're trying to do. And you can pick any topic from it, but it's called Self-Talk Plus. And I just think it's amazing. I've been listening to it for years. I used to listen to it on the CDs, and now I have it on the app. Thank goodness. You can take it wherever you go. But starting your day out specifically in one type of self-talk, like one topic of self-talk, it's amazing. And repetition is what causes. That's why you read the same two books over and over again, is because you're repeating, right? And you're going deep with it. And so I love self-talk for that reason. And in the morning, making sure that you're having that time where it's just a few minutes when you're shaving or fixing your hair, or getting ready in the morning or whatever you're doing. But what I would suggest to the listeners is it's great if you have it in your ear, you know, as a, with your ear pod or your, any of the thing devices that you use, so that you're not bothering somebody else, right? Whoever's around you at the time. Because my husband and I, we're the only ones here. But sometimes in the morning, he doesn't always want to listen to everything I'm listening to, the podcast and all the stuff I'm listening to. But the self-talk, I make sure that I don't put that in my ear, that I have it playing out loud, because I want him to hear it.
Interesting.
I want him to hear it too. And it's amazing what happens when, if I could do anything over again as a parent, I would be playing self-talk out loud every single day. And not even talk about it, like just play it in the background. Because when we're learning another language, like I grew up speaking English and Spanish in our home. And I learned Spanish automatically, and we learn English automatically just by hearing what's around us. And so if I could give any advice to a parent, that's what I would say is it, if there, you know, there's things in when you get to be an empty nester and you're watching your kids raise their kids, you look at life differently and you think of things because you're more calm. You know, you're not raising a family anymore. You're not in the thick of it. And you think about the things that you could have done differently. And that's probably my number one thing that I would have done differently, is to play it in the background. You know, I used to hear Brian Buffini. He used to talk about that he did do that with his kids. He played Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar and all on the loudspeakers over their home. And those kids could recite them. They could recite everything he was playing all the time, word for word. And you know what? They're all successful. They've all done really, really well because he did that. So my son, Kenny, he actually plays self-talk for his now 8-month-old daughter. He's been playing it from the time she could hear, right? She's only 8 months old. You think, oh, they're too young. They're not going to pay attention to that. She's picking up on it. She is. And it's self-talk. You know what it is? I'll give a plug. It is Snoop Dogg, Doggy Land, it's called. And it's great affirmations for kids. It's amazing. And he does it with some music. And, you know, you've got the vibe going on. And I just think that's amazing. So I think that's fantastic. And I would do it. So he has heard what I said about what I would do if I had to do it over again. And we were pretty intentional with him about self-talk, but it's such a great thing to do. So I would advise any parent, any grandparent who's around their kids. I play self-talk when my grandkids are around as well, because I want them to pick up on it. And their parents are real into it as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like my concern with that is like my mental narrative, I guess, would be like, well, I don't want to like push them away and some like stuff that they don't want to hear about. And when dad's just being daddy, whatever, you know, and he gets up early and why doesn't he sleep in? And it's like, but I think what happens is you need to do it, because they may not hear it now, but it will be a subliminal message that will resonate at some point in their life. And you are much better leading by example and not pushing it down their throat, but also kind of leading them the right way. And so I think that's where I'm at. I drive my daughter to school every day, and then I take my son once a week. Mm-hmm. And we talk about like what you're grateful for. And say, oh, dad, you know, I'm like, but you know what?
Perfect.
I'd rather just say it. It's okay. And then over time, it's like there's little things that she's opened up about or different things. And it's like, it's just pretty cool. I was thinking about it today. I'm like, that's easy for me to go, well, why am I taking her to school? If I can just go to the office a little bit earlier or do this, I mean, it's like, but why am I even, what am I working for to lead people? And I'm leading her, that she's going to impact people. And it's kind of a, it's just really something special for me. And something, you know, people, one habit I'll tell you is I started taking my kids to school every Wednesday when they were young, and we mapped out the schedule. And I said, you know, one of the things my wife didn't love was, you know, just working all the time in the mortgage business. And so I said, okay, well, I need to work a late night. So let's just set up a late night and then I'll take the kids in the morning. Mm-hmm. So Wednesdays was my late night, and Wednesdays was the time to take the kids to school. Now, schedule shifted a little bit so I can take my daughter a little bit earlier. So I take her every day, but I'm so glad I did that, because I could have figured out, found so many reasons not to do it.
Yes.
But by doing that, I've had years of time with them in the morning. That was just, it was really special, you know? And so I'm really glad I did that. So habits are important, and habits to be around and be intentional around your family. You know, man, I mean, I feel like, you know, my kids are growing up, but everybody, you know, says this, how time flies, but you really need to be intentional about what you're doing and what you're doing and why you're doing it with them. And then the background noise, like you're saying, have these ideas going on the background. I think it's huge. I love that idea.
And I love that you ask questions, ask thoughtful questions, things. And if you don't know what to ask, just Google questions to ask my kids on the way to school in the morning. I mean, it's amazing what you can find on Google, right? And they're there, everything. I remember one time I was thinking, you know, what can I ask my grandkids more? Because I have grandkids that are teenagers and young ones as well. And I thought, what can I ask? I need to be more intentional about what I'm asking them. So I actually Googled questions you can ask your grandkids when you call them or FaceTime them or whatever. And it's amazing, open-ended questions where they have to give you an answer, not a yes or no. Because I've been famous for asking questions that they say yes or no. And then, okay, you're trying to pull it out of them, right? And it's easier with grandkids than it is with kids in some ways, because they're more open, you know, to grandparents, nurturing love and stuff. But I think that is really, really good that you're asking questions. My oldest son does that. He's been doing it since she was little. She's 12 now. They have one daughter. And she is amazing, because he has intentionally asked questions like, did you compliment somebody today? Did you find something good about somebody today? Things like that, that are really, really powerful, because kids don't think about that stuff unless you ask them to think about that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, naturally, some kids are really caring and, you know, empathetic and all that, but if you intentionally come up with a question, maybe a question of the day or a question of the week, and then you ask them how it went, it gives you something to talk about. I love that you brought that up.
I think you and me have, you know, been down this road for a little while and trying to be intentional with our families, also work. But I think the other thing is, if you have not been intentional about it for a period of time, so let's say you feel like you've dropped the ball as a parent, and you haven't been involved, you know, for a period of time, start now, you know?
Yes.
I think sometimes we get in our head about maybe, and especially with an older kid, if you kind of have drifted away from them, they want you, you know, to be there.
Yes.
And they want you to call them, even if they haven't called you for a while. And, you know, like, make an effort, and then make another effort, never stop, you know?
Exactly.
Continue to make an effort, because people are busy. And, you know, sometimes it'll go a few weeks without talking to my parents, and then I'm like, oh, I better call them, you know. But don't take it like, especially with older kids, it's easy probably, you know, to, or parents, or if you've had maybe a little bit of a fight or something like that, just over communicate during that time period. And,
yes,
and like, is it super important? A lot of people just shut down, you know, and it can happen. And I, you know, I've been guilty of this in the past too, where you just kind of shut down and like, oh, whatever, like, you know, I'll just do my own thing.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, like, keep trying at the relationship, and that's different levels of it. You know, even if, you know, a kid, you know, sometimes little kids are like slamming the door and they're all angry and like, whatever, I'm not going to deal with it. But then sometimes you get them to open up and like, what's really going on here? You know,
yes.
Then it's something else that happened at school or whatever else. It's really not the conflict that's going on. So you got to keep leaning into them and having conversation at whatever age they are. and whatever has happened in the past.
I agree. And for them to know, I love you no matter what. No matter what is going on, no matter what you've done, you can never do anything that will make me stop loving you.
Yeah.
And, you know, to say those words to them when they need to hear it. So I just think those kinds of habits are really important in the mortgage business, especially. So you ask, why are they talking about parenthood on this podcast for mortgage people? Because we need it, right? Because mortgage people that are in the mortgage business and any business, but we know the mortgage business. So that's why I'm saying that. And this is our audience, is the mortgage business. And so there are so many times where it's so easy not to think about that stuff and to just do the business and work and work and work. But we've got to put investment into the relationships as well. Our spouse, our significant others, our children, and our friends. Not just, you know, not just our children, but our friends. So thank you for sharing that, because that really got us talking about something that's really important. Just paying attention. And I love these words. These are one of my favorite affirmations, is it's never too late. It's never too late. We may not have done something in the past. We may regret something we didn't do, but it's never too late to start from now and move forward with it. And I tell myself that every day. I say that to myself. It's never too late. So I don't sit there and moan in regret, right? I just say, okay, I can change starting right now. I can make it better and change it. So that's important.
Yeah, so, I 100% agree. I mean, I think making that, you know, shifting out of a mindset is easier said than done sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Do you have a loan partner who does the loan consultations, structures the loan, and converts the buyer to work with you? Or maybe you have a loan partner or a team member that you would like to move into that position so that you can be freed up to go get even more loans. How about a newer loan officer who could benefit from some training in how to convert buyers to work with them? Our client conversion training is very specific to this role. It will help them convert even more clients to work with you and your team. We help you to be seen as a trusted advisor. We cover every aspect of converting clients to work with you. They're going to learn emotional intelligence, what it is, and how to utilize it. They'll discover the key to a success mindset. Yep, we go deep on this one. How to build rapport right from the first conversation. How to ask the right questions. How to answer objections. Specific dialogues and strategies to overcome rate shoppers. They're going to practice live with other class members. And they're going to also learn how to ask for and receive referrals. How to master the loan consultation with loan strategies that help the buyer make great decisions for their future. Client conversion training will set your team apart when they implement the training that they're going to receive in our class. It's a virtual interactive class on Zoom with live trainers, and your team members can attend from wherever they are as long as they have audio and video. Everyone participates. It's a 10-hour live class divided into 2.5-hour sessions from 9 to 11:30 on Thursday and Friday for 2 weeks in a row. Sign up your loan partner today at loanteamtraining.com. You'll find the class on the client conversion training tab. So how have you worked? I know fear comes up. Fear has been rampant in the mortgage business in the last year and a half. And some people let it get to them and some people don't. So how would you look at, what are some tips that you could give to people so they don't let fear take over when the market is shifting or when there's issues or any of that?
I don't think fear is real. I mean,
I agree.
I think it's made up. And so I don't really have an issue with, you know, being fearful. I think some people can get frozen in their tracks maybe. Mm-hmm. But fear is not real, because what is it? Like, you could be fearful that this, you know, sky is going to fall, that, you know, there's going to be rain today, and then all of a sudden it's going to ruin the game this weekend and this and that. And it's like, you can sit here and worry. I think fear and worry probably are together.
Yes.
But it hasn't happened yet. So why are you worried about it? Why are you fearful of something that hasn't even happened yet?
Yes.
Like, am I afraid of the dark? Well, not necessarily. But if I hear like some crazy roaring and loud gunshots and stuff, okay, well, I might be a little freaked out, you know? But when it comes to the business, I think the key is just continue to add value. Mm-hmm. And grow and lean into working with great people, collaborating with great people. And I think that really takes away, action's key. So no matter what you're doing, you got to take action in what you're doing. So the action ends up trumping the fear, because, and even if it does exist, even though I don't believe it's true and I don't let it creep into my mind, action is the key. So, all right, what am I doing Monday? Hitting the gym, getting in the office early. I'm not looking at my emails until 10 o'clock. Then I'm taking action, action, action. I do action, easy actions, like doing birthday calls in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't like calling somebody for their birthday? Like, it's easy. It's simple, right? But that gets the action going. And then I start thinking about, okay, how can I add value? I started doing a No Excuse Pro podcast so I can add value to my agents and help them with no excuse mindset around what I believe is how to conquer that and overcome it, is just have a no excuse mindset. So we're building that out with awesome interviews. I know you jumped on, really appreciate you. And so how do we educate? How do we serve? I'm starting to do, I don't know, I've done this over the years, but trying to do it more regularly. It's called a weird loan scenario. I'm trying to get that out. I think that is really important to educate people about what they're doing. So whether you're a loan officer, realtor, financial advisor, whatever your business is, obviously we're talking to a lot of mortgage people, just educate, spend time educating, but also like be a little mindful of how much time you're dedicating to specific things, and make sure you readjust some of your allocation of time depending on what you're doing. But you can't go so crazy with that you don't plant seeds. Mm-hmm. So that's how I handle it. That's kind of a long-winded answer, but I handle it by action.
Love that.
I handle it by, believing it doesn't exist. And I just want to help and serve and get better every day. Sometimes that drives me crazy also. So I don't know. That's another downside to wanting to continue to improve, because sometimes it doesn't always go exactly how you want.
Right.
But, there's always the next day.
Yes. So I think it was Zig Ziglar that said, fear is false evidence appearing real. It stuck with me. I'm pretty sure it was Zig Ziglar. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's the one that started that. False evidence appearing real. That means there's no evidence. We don't know what's going to happen, right? But it appears and it feels like it's real, but it's not. So I love your answer.
Anxiety. That's where anxiety comes from a lot too. And, mm-hmm. One of the things they say to, help with depression and anxiety is go serve people and,
yes, help
and take your mind off of what you're doing and go help other people. And it's pretty amazing once you start getting out of the day-to-day. Like, there are certain days when I don't have a lot on my calendar,
mm-hmm.
and I just start like obsessing about other things that are going on, especially if you look at social media and you're like, oh, I should be doing that, I should be doing this. And it's like, hold on here, so I think some of the action's important. And whether it's just going to the park and playing with the kids, doing something. I think it's a problem for kids too. I think kids are keeping them active with easy things, whether it's just crafts or, like I said, going to the park and playing. We rode our bikes around as a kid. That's what we did,
Yes.
Like, just go play, And yeah. I don't know if kids aren't doing that nowadays. Maybe they are, but that was, I think, a healthy thing for us to do, is just stay in action and stay going. But mortgage specifically, I think there's three main things to focus on. 5 handwritten cards a day, no matter what. I'm doing, I pre-label them. So they're like pre-done.
Love that.
5, and I'm writing them, right? Mm-hmm. 5 handwritten cards. You can do it tons of different ways. Don't overthink it. 5 a day before you even start the day.
Yeah.
And then 13 conversations. So tracking those conversations, quality conversations, adding value. And then the 3 face-to-faces, adding value. It's a really simple plan that I think anybody can do. And it actually translates to other professions too.
Yes.
So that's kind of how I also conquer the fear, is like, okay, well, if you look at some of the other, there's another tracker and there's other things that I've seen in our industry. And it's like overwhelming because there's so many different checkpoints.
Uh-huh.
But when you boil it down, it's handwritten cards, quality conversations, face-to-face appointments talking about business.
Yes.
You don't have to be 100% business, but it could be, oh, by the way, I do this and I just help this client. And, you know, is there anybody else that, you know, I can help serve, or any partners or realtor partners or financial advisors? But I believe that framework simplifies it so much that it actually allows people to not be fearful and overwhelmed about how hard it is.
I agree. It's so simple. When you put it in those terms, it's so simple. And if they can't start with five, like when you first start, did you start like the minute you heard about doing five handwritten notes a day, did you start it right away? Like, did you do five from the very get-go, or did you do it a little bit at a time until you worked up to it?
So I started out doing birthday cards, and then I would do like just met cards. So if I just met somebody or if it was a new client. Mm-hmm. So we started new client cards and birthday cards is where I started. And that would actually get me not quite five, but it would get me, you know, one or two a day, and then the database would grow. And so I actually don't count my birthday calls or cards, and I don't count my other mailers that I do mm-hmm. as handwritten. Now I'm trying to do handwritten on top of all that other stuff.
I love that. Yeah. That's, you can reach people in a handwritten personalized note in a way that you can't text them, you can't call them. You're just not going to say certain things when you're on the phone with someone or face to face as you will writing it down.
So and they're so powerful. Then, so you do all this action, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, the phone rang because I did this and this. I map it all back. I'm like, oh, I called them for their birthday, or I helped them do this. Oh, you know what? It's like all of a sudden you start going, wow, it really works, you know? My biggest fear is letting people down mm-hmm. and not having like the perfect loan process, even though we try to, you know, iron that out as much as possible over and over and over. I think that's my biggest fear of why I'm probably not doing more than I should be right now is if I bring in the business, then I got all this other work to do. And so I think a lot of people kind of relate to that. But I mean, what do you think? I mean, is there maybe self-talk or habit or something that's, you know, I know that's a loaded question here, but is there anything that you can think of as far as a habit or a way of thinking or self-talk that could help with that?
Yes. So I would write out self-talk. So if something is stopping you, like you say something to yourself every day or a lot that you shouldn't be saying, right? You just reword it. And then that's your new affirmation, and you've got to keep repeating it over and over and over. So for instance, if I'm trying to write more handwritten notes and I haven't been doing it and I keep saying I'm going to do it and I don't do it, I actually have this little thing right here on my desk that says, if I don't write the notes, I'm missing an opportunity to make an impact. It's a little affirmation that I have that I read every morning. If I don't write the notes, because you know, sometimes you think, I used to think, I really believed that a lot of people were motivated by the positive, like by a carrot. They were motivated by something positive. But what I have found in coaching people, Kevin, is that most people are motivated by pain. Like they'd rather move away from pain than to go towards pleasure, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's what motivates people more. Not everybody, but some. So that's why I wrote that. If I don't write the notes, I'm missing an opportunity to wow people. That was the other thing, is to say it that way. And I am getting back in the habit of writing notes again. For a long time, I stopped writing them because my husband wrote them for our company. And so I got out of the habit of writing them. And now I'm starting to write them again. And it's really important to do because you can put things in.
This is a little nuance that's important. So, you know, as you're growing a business, you try to say, okay, what do I need to do? What's my highest and best use? But I've actually found, though, that doing the handwritten cards is a connection to the person that I'm writing it to, that that gives a different level of connection for me yes. to them, right? It's not like you can automate emails, you could do other stuff, you could build out a drip, and even social media, but this is like going to them and going to their hand. There's something about what I like doing it. And could somebody else do it? Sure. It took me like, so if I prep them with the addresses before, the names before, and I just put the address on in the note, I could probably do about five in like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So
you get to do it quickly after a while.
Well, what is better use of my time? 15 minutes of doing a handwritten card to somebody that has sent me a referral, It's a thank you card for going on the podcast or meeting me. Mm-hmm. It's a thank you card for a 5-star review. Like, have your still stuff set up, but it's a connection for me to, I enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take me a little while to give that up again. I'll give up other stuff, but I really do think that that's a connection to what I do. I really like it.
I love it. And people are not used to getting handwritten notes, so it sticks out in a good way. It shows that you care about people, that you were listening to them, especially if you talk about something that you guys talked about or something that they shared. And that's what makes it so powerful. So George Bush, the first George Bush president, President Bush, they asked him, how did you get to be a president? How did you get to be the president of the United States? You know, what was one thing that got you there? And you know what he said? I can't remember how many notes he wrote, but he said, I wrote handwritten notes every single day, and I still do. That's what got me to be the president of the United States. Not that he wrote it to become the president, which we don't write it to overly influence people. We write them, it comes from our heart, right? When we write it, it's something sincere and people can feel that. But the fact that he became president because he wrote so many handwritten notes a day, what does that tell you?
Well, and there's the old saying, you know, people are thinking about you a lot less than you think they are.
Yes.
That's what it is. So, I mean, you're worried about what you think your hair looks like or this line. People don't care, you know, for the most part. But it's also that you're kind of out of sight, out of mind. Like, you did an awesome job, Kevin. Oh my gosh, Irene, you're the best, you know, coach or mortgage person in the world, best realtor in the world. Oh, how's it? You talk to him 2 years later. Oh, how's it going? I bought two other houses. You're like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. Oh my gosh, you do business still in, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. 3 miles down from where we close on the other. Yeah, we do that
yes.
for you too. So it's our job to continue to have those touch points. Sometimes it's going to be adding value with information and resources and market updates. Sometimes it's just going to be, hey, I hope you're doing really well. I found when I overthink like the market update or the information update, then I forget that there's a relationship there and the relationship is equally important because you need somebody to feel like they can call you and confide in you about what's going on in their life and help them through it.
Yes.
That's why they're calling you, not just going online to do something, because they really need a human connection to help them through whatever they're going through. Mm-hmm. And that's why the handwritten cards are so important, is because you're human. You know, you're not just throwing them some newsletter or giving them some information. You're actually connecting with them.
Yes. And it's powerful.
Yeah.
So tell me about your podcast. Let's share your podcast with our audience and tell them what it's all about. I love your podcast.
So I was trained back in the day to always undercommit and overdeliver. That was the basis of everything I was taught when I got in the mortgage business in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Under commit, over deliver. And that's exactly what no excuses are. I believe like having a no excuse mindset goes into every area, not just business, but life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about, hey, you know what? I know this person, they're not expecting my call right now, but I know that they're a little anxious about something and they, you know, I'm going to give them an update today so then I can help them prepare for 2 weeks from now or 2 days from now. So then they know exactly what's going on. Do I need to call them right now? No. Do I need to take time to spend an hour on a Zoom call where I haven't even pulled credit for a client? I haven't even done an application. There's no commitment to work with me. Do I need to spend an hour with them educating them on their options? No. But would a no excuse pro do that? Yes, 100%, because you're adding value and you're helping them and you're doing the right thing for them. All the little things I do, simple stuff. This is tactical stuff. There's a high level no excuse ethos. And then there's a tactical. I like the tactical and the high level mindset.
Uh-huh.
Tactical is like, I do a pre-close call. I talk to people in my business, the mortgage business, blows my mind. Everybody's like, oh, why did you do that? The system just sends it out, you know, and they have to sign it. So of course they saw it. You're like, you don't do a pre-close call. It blows my mind. So we do a pre-close call. ideally 3 days before, sometimes four, sometimes two, depends on the exact timeline. This is when everything's pretty much finalized, buttoned up, doxed and title. We pick up the phone and send them the closing settlement statement or closing disclosure. And we go over, hey, this is what it was up front. This is what it is now. Let's double check the numbers, make sure there's no surprises at closing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to set the expectations of what you're going to expect at signing, where to wire the funds. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes. I email and I call them. 50% of the time I get voicemail. Could I do it in a specific meeting? Sure. People are busy. So, you know, what I try to do is pick and choose how I have the set meetings. And sometimes I'll do phone calls, voicemails, and emails. Do I need to do that? No. But would a no excuse pro do it? Yes. Mm-hmm. The reason why, it's the right thing for the client. Over the years, yes. I have found that the client has questions at closing, because I went to closings for 10 years, mm-hmm. and they have the same questions all the time. And I said, well, what if I just reverse engineer this and answer the questions ahead of time? And then they just have a nice smooth closing, and I call them and tell them that it funded, right?
Great.
So that's how I operate now since 2014. So the first 10 years I operated a little more where I would go to the closing. I tell them we schedule the closing, but I wouldn't necessarily do like my full pre-review like I do now. But the no excuses is personal to me, because I feel like people have so much opportunity in their life and aren't taking advantage of what they were given and their abilities. And even if they don't have abilities, they can grow their abilities. They can learn. They can make more of what their life is. And I've also learned, though, that as much as we want to impact people, people are going to do what they do. So yes. That's what I like about the podcast. So like, I can sit here and talk to people, tell them I'm blue in the face about what loan officers should do, the daily success plan, or that realtors should just try to add one person to their database every day. That's the focus. How do you add value to them? How do you connect with financial advisors? How do you connect with your sphere of influence? But at the end of the day, like, people are going to do what they need to do. People they love accountability until you actually give them accountability.
Yes.
So that's why the podcast is important, because I can share ideas in a way that doesn't put them in a bad light. Mm-hmm. So that's what's cool about it, is it's like, how do we just honor the other person we're talking to, share a no excuse ethos and what they've done to take control of their life and overcome excuses, and give back to the community as a whole. And then I just meet awesome people through it too. Like, you know, I've had some conversations, we're about 15 episodes in, and I've had conversations with people that we haven't had an hour long conversation about this, you know, about, and so it's just really fun learning more about what people are doing and removing the excuses.
Yes. Removing the excuses and hearing their story, right? I love to hear success stories. I love to hear stories of what they learned and what they did differently after they learned from whatever they learned from. And just like you shared some things that you've learned from, and I've shared some things that I've learned from, and now we move forward. And I love hearing people's stories. And that's why I love the podcast, because I love to hear your story. I everything that you shared with me today, I really appreciate it. And so we'll put your podcast in the show notes to make sure people can go to it, and make sure to listen to his No Excuse podcast, because it's really, really good. I've really enjoyed it. So I'm glad you're doing it, Kevin, because people need that. And what I love about it is it's not just about mortgages or about getting business. It's not just about, it's about personal growth. You mix it in there, which I really
100%.
Like.
It has to be a personal growth, because if it's just about business, this is kind of boring, frankly. And then you're going to hit a ceiling at whatever you're doing. So if you don't continue to grow as a person at different levels, it's going to take different things to get to different levels. So unless you're, here's the thing. You can go to networking events. You're not going to have this type of conversation in a networking event.
Right.
Right. And so, but here's the cool thing about podcasts is, like, you can actually just listen into somebody else's conversation, right? Like,
yes.
And then learn from it. And so I'm happy that you're doing it. You taught us a lot over the years about, you know, team building and growth. How do you, and I'm just curious for you, like, for habits, like, let's set the kid thing aside. We talked about that, but the teams and people on your team, how do you help them with better habits? And like, how do you hold them maybe a little bit accountable to habits? How do you hold your team at a higher level with habits?
Well, for the first thing is you make sure that you set the expectation of what, why you're doing it, you know, what it is they need to do and why they need to do it, how it's going to help them. It's not about helping the loan officer. It's about helping the team to grow. Because when the loan officer gets more income and more loans closed, it helps everybody on the team. So it's always about how it's going to help them, what it's going to do for them. And then you set that expectation, you get their buy-in by asking them questions, asking them, does this sound like a good thing to you? Are you up for this? And of course, they're going to say yes. They're good team members, right? And then I set up checklists. I tell them, you know, have a checklist, a couple things that you do each day. One of the things is having a morning meeting, just not a meeting. I don't like to call it a meeting. It's just a get together where they start the day out together for a few minutes, talk about what went on yesterday, what was a win that they had yesterday. That's number one. What went on yesterday that they learned something from that they can share with the team? Because a lot of times, you know, you're remote and you're not always sharing everything that you found out. A guideline changed or something happened and you learned from it. And then what's one thing that you're going to do today that's going to move the needle, that's going to help? If it's the team members, what are they going to work on? And if it's the loan officer is also accountable to their team to let them know, I'm going to be doing this to move the needle. And that's going to help everybody. So that's one of the things. But I think having a checklist of just, it doesn't have to be a big old long checklist, just a few, like you've got the three things. You've got your 5 handwritten notes, your quality conversations, and your face-to-face meetings. So that's your checklist, so to speak. And I would create that, but I would get their buy-in by having them create it. What are three things that you can do in a day that's going to really help us as a team? And then having them share their wins is really important. I do that in my coaching calls with people. I always want them to share their wins with me. But when you do it with your team, it helps them. First of all, their language of appreciation could very well be, first, you should know what their language of appreciation is. And we're going to talk about that on a different podcast. But language of appreciation is what helps them feel appreciated. And for some people, it's words of affirmation. And when you highlight them and let them tell their wins, and everybody's like, that's awesome. It makes them feel good, like they're contributing to the team. Yeah. So those are some of the things that I like to do. The other language of appreciation is service. There's different languages, but one of the most common ones is words of affirmation, where people are affirmed for what they're doing and they hear the loan officer affirm them on the call as well. So I think that's important.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That's great. I think that's a great, easy thing to implement for sure.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here today, Kevin. I appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
I love talking with you because we're always talking about personal growth mixed into business and it's always fun. So I appreciate it.
Likewise.
And enjoy the rest of your day. And we will talk soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking your time to listen or to watch on YouTube. And if you could share this with other people that you know, other loan officers, other people in the mortgage business, if you got value out of it, I would really appreciate you sharing it. Wasn't Kevin awesome? He is such a great guy. And I really appreciate him being a VIP with us. He has sent his team to our training from day one. And I just really appreciate that about him. He trusts us to train his team. And that means a lot to us.
Here's what Kevin had to say about loan team training. Irene and her team are changing lives. Through your coaching and mentoring, you have allowed us to be able to build the systems needed to provide a wow mortgage service to the families and the partners we serve. This also allows us to create time freedom, providing a better life and work balance. Thank you.
So enjoy the rest of your day. Share this with other people that you know, and just know how much I appreciate you.